Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're looking at the Americas in crisis. We begin with Haiti. The headline, Bahamas promises to join Kenya in security force in Haiti as support grows. The Bahamian government welcomed Kenya's decision to lead a multinational force in Haiti and committed 150 people to support the effort if the United Nations authorizes the force. The announcement follows a request by UN Secretary General Guterres that countries in Haiti's region join forces with Kenya, which last week said it was willing to send 1,000 police officers. I welcome Professor Ellis to comment on this because Haiti connects directly to a tragic crisis we have, we're witnessing in Manhattan, New York, which is outside the Roosevelt Hotel, 1,000 rooms committed by the City Hall administration to housing migrants who are arriving from the border by bus or other means. When the migrants line up outside the hotel hoping for a room around the block, red tickets are passed out. The red tickets have numbers on them. Now and again, people from inside the Roosevelt Hotel come out and call out numbers. You win the lottery. You get to go inside and apply for a room. The numbers are called out in Spanish, in Arabic, and in French. Why French? Because Haiti is a great contributor, a huge contributor, to the flow of refugees, migrants coming from the Darien Gap through the Central American states to Mexico and across into the United States. Haiti, the crisis in Haiti is contributing to that pressure that the Roosevelt Hotel is witnessing and that the whole border region is witnessing. People seeking not only a better life, but to survive outside the chaos of Haiti. Professor, a very good day to you. Right now, Haiti is an abandoned member of the OAS. The UN is moving in some fashion to put a police force in. However, there are doubts that any police force these last years is capable of tending to the violence that we hear routinely, the kidnappings, the murders, the government that is missing in action. How do you measure the U.S.'s contribution to this? How do you measure the OAS in this crisis? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, certainly the U.S. has long had a stake in Haiti because of the migrant community in South Florida, because of our proximity to the region. It continues to be a matter, I think, of concern that, the State Department and others keep an eye on. And yet, as you alluded to, this has also been one of those crises that no one has wanted to get more deeply into. The U.S. is committed to some support. The Canadians have committed to some things. But the question of who would actually lead a new force to go in after the former United Nations Minister and later less capable Baino forces had basically pulled out. This is the first inching towards a possible new security force we've seen in a country where things have gotten so bad that you have the United States pulling out all non-essential personnel, where you have essentially, kidnappings and gang violence is shut down the ability to get food and even, gasoline for generators. The big progress, as you alluded to, was they finally found somebody who said that they would volunteer to lead the force that Gutierrez had called for, and that would be Kenya, talking about contributing 1,000 police or other personnel. The Bahamas, as you pointed out, also ponied up, making it the second with a relatively small contingent, 150. Again, as you also alluded to, this depends on the United Nations actually agreeing formally to a force. And for that, you have to have the United Nations Security Council go along. In that regard, China especially and certainly Russia under current conditions have been reluctant to indicate they would approve a force to Haiti. And so basically getting people to say that they would be part of the force is one step forward. But the big step that we haven't seen certainty on yet is the international community and the Security Council actually saying that they would approve a force. So I'd say that it's an uncertain road ahead as to what happens in terms of an international force, even as things continue to deteriorate in the country.
The straightforward problem we have right here is that Haiti is chaotic, and the reporting out of there is untrustworthy because there are no safe personnel. There's no safe place for reporting. In addition, the U.S. is 5 or 6 or 7 days ago last week evacuated its non-emergency personnel. Does the OAS have ever set up something of an emergency procedure, something like FEMA or something like a National Guard to go in? Or is that outside the reach of the OAS?
Well, the difficulty with the OAS is in order to do any type of coordinated international response force, it needs the authority, basically the concurrence of all members. And of course, with political divisions in the region, the OAS is very split. And the OAS really doesn't have a working body to do security affairs per se in a way that the United Nations can send in peacekeeping forces. There have long been some capabilities within what's called the Inter-American system to provide support and military coordination. There's a body called the Inter-American Defense Board that talks about issues. But the OAS really has traditionally had much more of an advisory role and kind of coordination between armed forces rather than being in a position to actually, put, armed forces or other type of relief forces into the region.
And so what we have here is a problem that everybody can see, but nobody has a formula to solve. I mentioned the pressure at the border from Haitian refugees who are running away from what appears to be just gang violence, routine gang violence. Anybody is vulnerable to being preyed on by the gangs. The gangs themselves are existing in a world of gunfire and ruination of souls. Is that not a motive for the United States to respond? What's happening at the Roosevelt Hotel is a direct product of the chaos in Port-au-Prince.
Well, I think a part of the shadow of U.S. response is the sense that the last time that the United States responded about 30 years ago, it was seen as spending a lot of effort and not necessarily making things much better. Then what followed, of course, was a legacy of a culture of basically dependency of Haitians on United Nations forces and NGOs. And so indeed for a while there was actually a special Haiti desk and a relatively large Haiti organization within the State Department to try to manage Haitian affairs, none of which really ultimately made things better or got us closer to governance. And so I think there's a real reluctance, not unlike there's a reluctance in the U.S. to, for example, recommit major forces to the Middle East after experiences like Iraq and Afghanistan. And so I think the issue clearly is that there's a lot of attention, certainly within certain parts of Congress. You have groups that are very interested in Haitian and the plight of Haitian migrants, but the willingness to go beyond certain things we're already doing to commit relief and facilitate aid to the Haitian National Police, but really going beyond that in terms of sending in troops or leading a UN force. I think the U.S. is trying to stay out of that game even while it's looking towards ways to support basically somebody else coming in and trying to put boots on the ground to respond to the problem.
One more linkage, Professor. I don't expect a solution, but this is from Panama City. The number of people crossing the treacherous Darien Gap linking Panama and Colombia, writes Reuters, hit an all-time high in the first 7 months of the year. Official data showed 248,901 people walked through the jungle. That's 60 miles of triple canopy jungle, extremely dangerous, up and down steep inclines. Between January and July, already surpassing the record for the whole of 2022. We might not have a solution for Haiti, but Haiti's coming our way, along with there are Chinese nationals there. There are a lot of Venezuelan nationals. There are people from across the world. Note that they call out Arabic at the Roosevelt Hotel. That would be North Africa, is my guess. Perhaps also parts of the Middle East. They're coming to, they're headed through that dangerous Darien Gap because they're coming to America. That is a motive for the Congress. Not immediately, Professor, I understand, but it links the Americas. Have I said this all correctly?
Oh, absolutely, John. And the fact that in July of this year, according to those statistics, you actually had a record number of crossings, despite the fact that the Panama is entering into its rainy season, which makes that already dangerous jungle even more dangerous, I think illustrates the problem. And the irony is that although, you know, U.S. movement to a kind of a Title VIII posture and restrictions, if you don't apply for entry into the United States through the CB1 app and remote procedures, but the fact that those migrants are still continuing to come through. And again, emphasizing, as you point out, Haiti, Cuba continues to be a source. Certainly Venezuela continues to be a major source, among others. You do have an increasing flow of Chinese, which raises other issues. But the bottom line is that you have migrants from many different places in record numbers coming towards the United States from the region. And even if they are not currently essentially lining up at the border, it's creating a problem that eventually puts pressure on the United States to deal with but also impacts all the rest of the countries through the region, because this impacts Panama, it impacts the Costa Rican border, it impacts other countries that they transit through, and including what we call the Northern Triangle countries, and eventually it impacts Mexico, where you already have other major difficulties as well.
Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, the New World Report. We're headed to Colombia, that you must pass through in order to reach the Darien Gap. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batley.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.